couldn't be like that. My goodness, I love jazz. I just do. And, you know, being having lived in New York for a long time and being able to go down to Bleecker Street or over to the Iridium or just out to some haunt over on St. Mark's Place or something and hear some beautiful jazz, man, it's great. I miss that. You can find jazz in France, but it's certainly not the kind of jazz that you can get in New York City. But, you know, my guest today, she's been with me before. She's a remarkable gal. She's just more power and more energy than anybody I ever talked to, and lots of information. We're even going to start about a subject that we didn't even talk about yesterday on our private call, but Jerry doesn't know I'm going to spring this on her, but... Anyway, her name is Jerry Godetti, and she has an organization. ARC Institute is the name of it, and it's got. Well, I'll let her explain it. Welcome, Jerry. Jerry,
well, great to be here.
Well, why don't you give everybody first a little synopsis of your enterprise and what it is that you do? Because I got some questions about that right away.
Oh, okay. The ARC Institute. I started the ARC Institute in 1996 in response to my own research, which was in molecular biology. I got very concerned about the direction our genetic engineering or modification of seeds and food supply was going. And I saw the disappearance of the natural heirloom, non-hybrid, non-GMO seeds rapidly. They were all being taken off the market, and that would deprive, Daryl, individuals of the right to grow their own food, to grow good food without genetic engineering. We were actually, as far as I was concerned, we were using the human race as kind of guinea pigs, a big cage of guinea pigs or rats on which they were experimenting, because we had no way of knowing whether these modifications were going to have any impact on human health and so on. So what I did was I started an organization, an ARC, if you will, a Noah's Ark for these heirloom varieties and non-genetically engineered varieties in order to prevent them from disappearing. And my goal has been, and it has been very successful, my goal has been to get as many of these out into as many hands as possible and ask people to please multiply them, save their own seed, which is, of course, what these seeds can do, like, you know, it was intended by nature for us to do with them.
Yep.
And hand them out to as many people as they can around the world. And I'm happy to say that we have our seed, actually, all around the
world. Give the site and a
sure.
phone number. And
sure.
we're going to do it again later, too.
Sure. It's ARK, A-R-K, Institute.com, A-R-K, Institute.com. And our phone number is 1-800-255-1912.
Well, you know... Jerry, I started out many years ago as a chef. Yeah. Yes, isn't that odd, isn't it? And I spent a lot of years actually cooking in New York, and part of my training for when I was in school for that was nutritional science.
Oh, great.
And I took 2 years of it and learned a lot about how the body uses food and how foods retain minerals and... What we've designed in America is a food that looks wonderful but is becoming devoid of quality and devoid of vitamin and mineral content. And that's how they've done that is by using chemicals and fertilizers and pesticides and then modifying the genetics of the organisms and so you get perfectly gorgeous peppers but none of the normal minerals. And I've got a story for you. This is actually as good as sad and I live in an area where I have farmers all around me, sheep everywhere, and of course I get my eggs come from the behind of a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, of course.
being a city dweller, okay. Now, for those of you who don't know what a real chicken egg tastes like,
mm-hmm.
you have never had an egg.
Right, right.
They don't have any resemblance to what you buy in a supermarket. They don't taste anything like that. In fact, the first time you eat a real egg, you almost fall to the floor and say, "What is this?" You get a big smile on your face, and you say, "This is the most delicious egg I've ever had," right? But here's the interesting thing. Of course, you know, most every chicken runs around with salmonella in their bodies because they are carriers of it, but they don't get sick from it.
Right.
So you're supposed to really clean the eggs real well and when you get them. And, of course, being a city guy, right, I just break them into the pan there, and apparently, you know, this is yesterday
yeah.
now. Uh-huh. And I eat, I'm eating this delicious egg, and all of a sudden, about 6-8 hours later, I'm shivering and keeled over.
Right.
My fault. When you're living a country life, you've got to remember all of the old things to do, like eggs don't go through a wash
washing machine or
yeah.
a disinfectant bath.
They don't get stamped with the red numbers on them and all that
right.
stuff, right? So, but here's the thing. I know what's happening is we've raped our soil, and we've made it because we don't use rotation cropping, and we don't put alfalfa back on it to give nitrogen back, and we don't allow organics to fall back into the soils, and so what we end up with almost like hydroponics without any real value in their content anymore.
Well, we're killing off all the microbes in the soil as well, and we are just now beginning to really get a handle on how those microbes feed into root health and plant health and the transport of nutrients across the root hair and so on.
Exactly right, and here's the interesting thing. When you start seeing this, what happens is the effect on the body, on top of the above-ground nuclear testing we've been doing for the last 40 years, what we have is depressed immune systems, and it leaves us open to a whole host of diseases that should not really, under good conditions, be hitting us. And I'll give you a good example of that. If you walk into we sell tobacco in France here in tobacco stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a good 50% of the people who buy cigarettes and tobacco products in France are in their 80s and 90s.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and they've never died of cancer. And according to what I understand, cancer comes to people who have who become good hosts for the cancer to grow. And how does this happen? Well, it happens from questionable nutrition, from bombarding your cell structure with radiations. From allowing yourself to become a good host. Now, what cigarettes do cause, on the other hand, they cause a terrible emphysema, but they don't necessarily cause cancer, because if it were true, most of the French would be dropping dead all over the place with cancer, but they're still smoking at 80 and 90.
I'd be very interested in seeing the figures on the rate of cancer in the population.
I'm telling you it's low. I'm telling you, really, it's very low. Up until recently, when they all ended up starting to come down with thyroid cancer after Chernobyl. But the fact is the French have a very bizarre paradigm on almost all diseases, because we don't use OGM food, and that's
right.
the term in France, OGM.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We don't use genetically modified food in France. And you go to a little place in the village, and the guy who's selling you the food is from the little area you're from, and he sells in a couple of villages. So when we come back, I want to talk about how we can start working our way personally through your system or any system back to these kind of values.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we got more from Jerry Godetti. And ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Great to have you here. Daryl Bradford Smith coming to you from Central France, live and direct at 10:45 at night, and great to be here with you, in fact. IamTheWitness.com is my website, and ArcInstitute.com is the website of my guest, Jerry Godetti. Jerry, you know, what most Americans don't know if they live in a large city is that every single one of them, if they're drinking water from the faucet, are taking Prozac and probably 100 other...
And estrogen.
Estrogen, and I mean,
yep.
if they only knew, I mean, they're drinking like a pharmacy every time they take a glass of water.
Uh-huh.
But that's neither here nor there. The food sources and what they're doing to the food supply, and it really has nothing to do, I don't think, with control. It has more things to do with greed. And greed, it's just greed gone amok. And would you agree with that?
I would absolutely. And those two words are related, greed and control. By controlling the largest proportion of what people need most, it fulfills your goals established by greed. And unfortunately, we have seen such a concentration of food technology in the hands of very few multinational corporations that the British have quipped that it would take just a little barbecue on a backyard patio and you would have all of the representatives of the companies that control the global food supply on that little patio having a barbecue together. That is how concentrated our food supply is globally in the hands of these corporate heads. And this is what so greatly concerns me, because this is going forward willy-nilly. As a matter of fact, World Trade Organization this week or next is supposed to approve, and it's looking like it's going to be approved, GMO seeds and foods in Europe. Excuse me, what happens to what the Europeans want? And apparently there's so much behind-the-scenes meanderings and negotiations going on that we are looking at the possibility that this thing is going to be slid through. Now, once you get the seed over there and it's grown in open fields, then you've got, unfortunately, the cross-pollination problem. And then their attitude is, oh, well, it's here anyway. You can't prove that this numbers of deaths is caused by this, or these birth defects are caused by our seed, and so on. You see, you don't know where the smoking gun is. Once that pollen gets out there and blankets everything, and yes, asthma may go up, birth defects may go up, but prove it is what their attitude is.
Well, here's the interesting thing, and I've described this in many of my shows. Between 20 and 30% of shares of a company are actually traded on the stock market. Between 60 and 70 and 75% often are held privately and generally in blind corporate trusts where you can't peer behind the veil.
Yes.
And these people, the same bankers, the same controllers, own Tyson, own Cargill, own Monsanto. It's the same people that own U.S. Water, which is the biggest water company in the country, United States, and that's owned by Lazard Frere and Company, which is Rothschild. And so what ends up happening is they've got the water in 60% of the American cities. They've got our food. They've got our oil.
Now you see why I'm concerned?
Oh, boy. And here I am. I'm ringing the bell, and everybody's saying it's the Illuminati. I just called them the aluminum Nazis today because I thought it was so ridiculous, the Illuminati. It's not. It's power-hungry Zionists, and that's a sad fact, because when you take a look at it, the fear I have often, Jerry, is that, they will get rank and file regular Jewish people involved in being blamed for it, because they don't have anything to do with it. They're eating the same poisons as us. They're drinking the same rotten water. And the fact is that these people have used religion as a wedge issue and as a way of masking criticism against them. It's worked wonderfully well over time. And then it's so complex. They're so good at this. I mean, geez, there's no masters of deception on our planet like these folks. And they've got lots of money to make it work.
Yeah, and I can't comment on some of the politics of that, because I just am not knowledgeable in that area. Daryl, you apparently are much more knowledgeable in the political side and the philosophical side. But I can tell you that looking at concentration of corporate control over parts of our food supply, for example, I'm going to tick off for you. This is the final compilation of the 2004 involvement in food supply by only one company, and we'll just pick on this one just because I've got that data handy. For example, in 2004, Monsanto's biotech seed and trait technology accounted for 88% of the total GM crop area worldwide. Okay, that's one company. Now, GM soybeans, they accounted for 91% of worldwide GM soybeans. How about corn? 97% controlled by Monsanto. GM cotton, 63.5%, and canola, 59%. Now, let's look at other things. Beans, 31% of the global seed market. Cucumbers, 38% of the global seed market. Hot peppers, 34%. Sweet peppers, 29%. Tomatoes, 23%. Onions, 25%. You get the picture. You're looking at one.
And that's not including Cargill.
So
what you said before was absolutely accurate. If you had three or four of these major companies together, they got a whole ball of wax.
That's correct. And you've got them on one patio in a backyard, and they're talking and drinking together and deciding what they're going to do with the global food supply.
Oy, yay, oy, yay, oy.
Huh?
Well, when we come back, we've got more for you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. What would Jerry do today?
copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Daryl Bradford Smith with Jerry Godetti. Jerry, we've got like a three-minute period here. We can set ourselves up for the second half of this here. the stuff that's going on with our food, let's talk a little bit about gardening. Let's talk a little bit about how we can start taking some of this back. I mean, my wife and I went out. I don't know a whole lot about this, but we're going to learn. I bought the canning jars, and I bought the stuff to boil it with, And I'm gonna see about, you know, taking maybe 10 or 15% of my food supply. I want to make it myself.
Sure.
And this is a knowledge that has died. But I don't look forward to this as a chore. I'm looking forward to it with some excitement. And you know, people across our country, we've got lots of wonderful fertile land in America. We can do this ourselves, can't we?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, pre-Y2K, for those folks who were around then and were prepping for Y2K, I traveled this entire country. I think I've hit nearly every state giving seminars, six-hour seminars on food self-reliance, how to become self-sufficient with your own garden produce. And I covered everything from the first seed that you started with all the way down to the canning process, freezing and drying processes. These are all doable. I have done it my entire life as an adult, and it is an extremely satisfying lifestyle. You not only save money, you are very healthy as a result of this. And it's something that people have to understand, that they can take care of themselves, their health, so much better. You can reverse so many of the chronic diseases in this society by eating whole, good food. And you know what? Science and the nutrition experts at the USDA and the Food and Drug Administration are just coming around to that idea themselves. Oh, wow, white bread isn't good. We need to have fiber. And, oh, wow, we've got diabetes is an epidemic around the world. Geez, why? Well, I'll tell you the difference between myself and other people who live like I do and the average American. I go out into the garden or in the wintertime to my jarred food, and I say, what is available for me today to pick? I take it from the garden. I take it into the house, and I arrange. Maybe I have a zucchini, three carrots, a little bit of parsley, a little bit of onions. And I say, oh, okay, looks like pasta to me. And
that's what it looks like to me, too.
And that's exactly how you live. And you know what? I don't have to go to a store. I've got beans. I can shell them. I throw that in with pasta or make my own pasta from my own wheat seeds. And you know what? Dinner is made. It's served. And it doesn't get any better than that. You go out and you let your determine your season and your garden determine how you're going to eat, and the good Lord provides all different colors and manner of vegetables all different times of the year, and you know what? They all balance out, and you end up healthy.
Is there a guide to people getting into this for the first time?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Go to
the website, arkinstitute.com. Mm-hmm. Some people can't spell that. INSTITUTE.com, ARC. And look for the Encyclopedia of Country Wisdom, for example. Oh, it's a massive book, and it's cheap. And it tells you how to do all of these things. I'd recommend that you get that right away.
Well, when we come back, we got lots more subjects. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.